This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can listen to us on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. We've got Scott Abraham from ABC 7 joining us at 9 as we get back into Commanders Ravens, but joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, where you can custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Morning, John.
Morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
John, do you feel the buzz? The growing buzz here in Washington for Jaden Daniels?
Well, yes, but I thought you guys were going to play me in with Meet the Mets.
I know. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
That's where the buzz is with the Mets.
There is real buzz with the Mets at the moment. It's because it happens so rarely, and the way they've been doing it, you know, coming from behind and Lindor's heroics and scaring the hell out of me in the ninth inning after Diaz walked the first two batters and then had to face one of the better home run hitters in baseball with two outs and struck him out. And by the way, how'd that trade work out for the Nationals? I'm just wondering.
You tell me.
not well.
How improbable is this for, from where they were?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, they were 10, 11 games under 500. They had, I think, the worst record in the National League at the start of June. And I thought they were dead in the water. I think a lot of other people thought they were dead in the water. And they turned it around. And when they turned it around was when they put Lindor in the leadoff spot. That seemed to change everything. I mean, first of all, he was great. He's going to finish second in the MVP voting, as he should. And then the rest of the lineup perked up, and the starting pitching got better, and they had the best record in the National League the last 2 months of the season, and people have been talking about, oh, how the Phillies let down and all of that, and I can understand people in Philly feeling that way, but the Mets were the better team the last 2 months of the season than the Phillies, so this shouldn't be that big a shock, a surprise, but not that big a shock, and the way they won game one, coming from behind late. And then game three, they were in control all the way. And game four, first five innings, I thought they were never going to score a run. They had like 82 base runners and couldn't score. And then Lindor changed it all with his grand slam. Just as someone who's been a Mets fan since I was 5 years old, think about how long that is. This has been a great ride. A lot of, regardless, my brother, who's also a Mets fan, said to me on Wednesday night after they clinched, I said, you know, I hope they can beat the Dodgers or the Padres. And he said, I don't care. At this point, I'm just so happy with what's gone on. I don't care if they lose. Now, I'm not that way. I still want them to win, but I understand what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a discussion earlier on this show, bringing it back to the Commanders, where EB actually said,
kind of a similar
doesn't
thing.
Mind a loss so long as Jaden Daniels continues to play well. Is right. that flawed thinking?
I don't think so. And usually I think EB's thinking is flawed.
We've agreed a lot lately, John.
I'm worried. I'm concerned. But, you know, I think that I was in D.C. on Tuesday for Jane's volleyball game, and I listened to a lot of sports talk radio going back and forth. And what I kept hearing was that this is like the biggest game since Joe Gibbs' last Super Bowl. It's the sixth game of the season. They're playing a good team. I don't think the Ravens are a great team. I mean, Joe Burrow carved up their defense last week. They should have lost. They were very lucky to win that game. But a win is a win, obviously. And I think the Ravens, the Commanders could win the game. They certainly can win the game because of the vulnerability in the Ravens' defense. Now, Lamar Jackson's great. We know that. And it'll be a tough out, especially playing in Baltimore. But if they lose, you know, Lamar's not going to suddenly turn around and not be a good player. He's a very good player. We know that.
He's proven commodity.
He's proven that. Right, exactly. And so if they were to lose him 4-2, especially in the division they're in, I wouldn't panic. I still don't think the Cowboys are any good. The Eagles are a question mark. And the Giants, even though they won last week, I was stunned by that, just aren't very good. So I think they have an excellent chance to win the division, regardless of the outcome on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ravens, a reasonable take.
The Ravens, that is.
No,
Washington.
Yes, but also, the Washington. Commanders.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right. That's what I said. I don't think it's going to affect them either way down the stretch.
No, well, what it could do if they were to win was give them a jolt of confidence in terms of how good they are, because this is the best team they've played. They have not played a tough schedule to date, but a lot of times in the past they haven't played a tough schedule and they'd be 1-4, 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-1, and clearly they have a great young quarterback. Now I felt that way. Somebody wrote something about the comparisons to Robert Griffin III are wrong. I think they're right. He was great as a rookie. He was the rookie of the year. He led them to the playoffs, and then the injuries started. But my sense is, I think Daniels is a lot brighter than Griffin. A lot of us, me included, mistook Griffin being articulate, which he was and is, for being smart. I don't think he was that smart. I think he and his dad handled everything wrong after he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And the giveaway to me, by the way, had nothing to do with injuries or running out of the pocket. He got married during that offseason, and fans being fans sent he and his wife to be all these wedding gifts. And instead of just posting something like, you know, please, this is completely unnecessary, it's very nice of you, he posted pictures of the gifts, you know, which is like, look how famous I am. Look how popular I am.
Right.
And you just don't need to do that.
Well, I think okay, fair enough. But I think that what differentiates him in Jaden, we've had this argument and everyone's sick of talking about it, but that we didn't know it at the time. But Robert just didn't have as big a toolbox. He couldn't throw guys open. He couldn't play from the pocket and win pre-injury. He was limited. They were running a gimmicky offense. It was the right time, right guy at that moment. But he wasn't as fully developed as Jaden. Jaden's just better. He has a bigger toolbox.
Well, remember, Robert played 3 years in college. Jaden played 5.
For sure.
And that makes a difference. But the other thing is, we'll never know what would have happened with Robert if he had stayed healthy and if he'd been willing to be coached by someone other than his dad. We'll just never know. I still think it gets back to him not being that smart. And Jaden, you know, I don't know him, but he appears to be a bright guy who will adapt and will adjust and will work to improve and hopefully won't get hurt.
Are you surprised that RG3 tweeted this out yesterday? He tweeted, Jaden Daniels will finish what we started and be the franchise quarterback the city deserves. He always inserts himself in the conversation.
The guy's an egomaniac. Of course you're not surprised.
How many guys are on the team today who are on the team with him?
It's got to be zero.
Got to be zero, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was 12 years ago.
Finishing the day started.
Yeah. That's like
again,
Ron,
it goes back to me believing that Robert Griffin III, just, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I don't think he's that bright.
That's like Ron saying, send me a Super Bowl ring when all of the players that I collected for the Commanders eventually win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's just laughable.
That would be closer to accurate since some of the players on this team did come in under Rivera.
That's true, but Adam Peters is good.
And
he's doing his best to weed them out.
Last year to get them to the second pick in Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Well, there is some connection.
That is the one saving grace for Ron is that it was so bad that they were in position to draft Jaden Daniels.
You have to thank him for the unintentional tank.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the San Diego Padres played a role in the Nats winning the World Series because they won their last three games in 2009 and allowed them to get Strasburg with the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
Who, in spite of all of his injuries, was great in 2019.
Right.
Will you be watching the Ravens Commanders game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch it for sure.
And you'll be rooting for the Ravens.
It should be
probably a
good football game. Yeah, of course I'll root for the Ravens.
Right.
I don't have anything against the Commanders the way I did when Snyder owned the team. But, you know, I have a connection to the Ravens organization, and I still know a lot of guys over there.
Do you stay in touch with, have you ever had a relationship with Bisciotti?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Bisciotti was the one who put me in position to do the book. Okay. He went to Ozzie Newsome and Brian Billick and said, I want you to talk to this guy. And it's funny because I had a meeting with Ozzie and Billick and Bisciotti and Kevin Byrne, who was the PR guy at the time. And Ozzie's opening gambit was, ESPN pays us millions of dollars every year, and I don't let them in my draft room. Why would I let you win?
Mm.
And I said, because I don't come with a camera.
That's true.
And I can put whatever happens in context when I write about it, and I won't be writing about it for months. Ozzie and I eventually had a very good relationship, but he was extremely suspicious of me. And there's no doubt in my mind that the only reason he agreed to let me in was because Steve told him to.
Right. He doesn't seem nearly as visible as he was in the earlier years. Not that he was super visible, but.
You're talking about Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never wanted to be visible.
Uh-huh.
He's always liked being in the background. In fact, when I was doing the book, one of the things he said to me was, all I ask of Ozzie is before he makes a big move, to let me know about it. Not to ask about it, but to let me know about it so I don't find out about it from my friends.
Right.
And he's that kind of owner. He lets the people he's hired to do their jobs do their jobs. That doesn't mean he doesn't have opinions. Of course he does. But he's never been an owner. He has one press conference at the end of the season every year. He will, talk on the record when something major happens that requires the owner to say something. But he's perfectly happy just sitting in his box with his buddies and smoking a cigar and watching a game.
Hmm.
Hey, he ain't no Dan Snyder, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Right. Man, I wonder where Snyder is.
I don't even care about where
he is. No one cares. I just wonder where
he
is.
I hope he's out on his yacht in the middle of the Mediterranean, just away from the rest of society. That's fine by me.
That would be a good thing for society.
It would be,
Why couldn't he have been on a yacht in the Gulf of Mexico when Milton came through? Hey, so let's...
Even I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
No, I've said it many times before, John. I would love it if his boat sank with nobody on it, no casualties.
Yeah.
That would make me
that'd be fine.
Slap my knee.
That'd be fine. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I don't wish anybody dead.
No.
All right, I was kidding. hey, John, there's a chance, all right? Now, look, they both have to play Notre Dame.
Yep.
But if you look at the remaining schedules, there's a chance, and maybe it's a smaller chance, but there's a chance Army-Navy could be 10-1 each when they face each other.
And could face each other twice.
That's true.
Because Army is now in the same conference.
They're both in the Navy. American. Correct.
And if they finish 1-2, or tied for first or whatever, they would play in the championship game the week before the Army-Navy game.
Yep.
And a lot of my Army and Navy friends are asking me, well, which would you rather win if you're Army or Navy? I still say it's the CIC because that's the number one goal every year at both schools, to win the CIC.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be weird that they would play on Saturday for a conference championship and then play again the next Saturday for the CIC.
And that's crazy.
And that's what happens when they get in the same conference. And I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but Army was given the easiest schedule in the conference. And they're good, don't get me wrong. And I'm glad they're winning. But Navy had to play Memphis the third week. They still have to play Tulane. Army doesn't have to play either one of them. So, and Navy beat Memphis. So there's a decent chance what you're talking about, Jason, could happen.
Yeah.
They could be 10-1 each playing the first Saturday in December, and then one would be 10-2, the other would be 11-1 playing the next Saturday.
Yeah, I think they both get Notre Dame at home this year.
No.
They don't?
Neither one of them ever plays Notre Dame at home.
They're neutral.
They're both neutral. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
The quote-unquote neutral with 75% of the crowd being Notre Dame fans.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
that's what always happens. And I have complained for years, dating back to when I did the book in 95, about Navy's relationship with Notre Dame, where they play every year, and there's a big deal made out of the fact that until COVID, they had played every year since 1927. Notre Dame gets a home game. Then they get a quote-unquote neutral site game, which on their schedule they say at Navy, which it's not. And Notre Dame already has every advantage there is in college football. You know, they can get all the players they want. They send, 10 guys to the NFL every year. Navy almost never sends anybody to the NFL. And I know from experience that when you play at Notre Dame, the refs are like another team helping Notre Dame. I mean, some of the calls are just unreal, including the famous one in 1999 when Navy had won the game. 4th and 10, they're up 4, and they throw a pass, and it's clearly a yard short. Clearly a yard short. Pat Hayden says on the NBC broadcast, that's it, Navy's done it, they've broken the streak. And then the line judge, a guy named Perry Hudspeth, never forget that name, walked in and picked the ball up and moved it up a yard. And they made the first down by about 3 inches and then went on and scored the winning touchdown.
Wow.
And whenever a referee, and when I was doing the Navy games on radio, whenever an official from that point on screwed up a play, I said he made a Perry Hudspeth.
Wow, what happened to Perry?
He kept officiating until he retired. And when he retired, somebody asked him in a hometown newspaper story, mm-hmm, about the play, and he said, well, my supervisor backed me up on that call. Well, of course he did.
Is the Army, Navy game this year is here locally, isn't it? Is it at
right,
Northwest?
Right. Yeah, it's in the stadium formerly named for Jack Hancock, yes. Yeah.
All right, John, we will talk to you.
You better leave damn early because of the traffic. It'll be a nightmare.
John, we'll talk to you next week. But real quick, I want you to do your favorite thing. Make a prediction on the Commanders-Ravens game. I know you love to do that.
I believe it'll start at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Right.
That's his call on the game.
Thank you,
That's
John.
That's my call on the game. Yep. I think it'll be a hell of a game. I really do. I think it'll be like a 34-31 game.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
That'd be fun.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
Thank you, John. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
It's John Feinstein, brought to you by Galtham, where they can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis. You can get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Coming up next, we'll make our predictions and we'll open up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. Want to hear from you. Who wins on Sunday? Do the Ravens?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Welcome back on a Football Friday. Front and center, 1 o'clock, you've got the Ravens hosting the Washington Commanders. Do you think the Ravens snap the Commanders' four-game winning streak, or do the Commanders make it 5 in a row? 800-636-1067. Obviously, the Ravens are favored. It's a home game for them. They're coming off the win against the Cincinnati Bengals. But the Commanders' offense, it's right behind what the Ravens are doing, and it actually is the number one scoring offense in the league. Now, where the rubber hits the road is their rushing offense against the Ravens' rushing defense.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens are stout against the run. B-Rob missing the last 2 days of practice is big for the Commanders, but Jeremy McNichols has proved capable of filling in if B-Rob doesn't play or is limited. I mean, I think Brian Robinson only played like on 35% of the snaps last week.
Right.
Like, they had to, you know, manage his workload. And if you miss back-to-back practices on Wednesday and Thursday,
doesn't look good.
Your likelihood of playing on Sunday is not great. Now, maybe he gets a limited practice in today and he's better, but I would guess they're going to be without Brian Robinson at this point.
And I think Brian Robinson was poised to have his best year, but McNichols has really, and Eckler, that combo has really given them, I think, the advantage. What's the word? The privilege, that's not the right word, of not playing them.
Right.
Like, they don't have to.
It's a luxury.
They've given them that luxury.
Plus, both McNichols and Eckler obviously to a greater extent, good pass-catching backs. And maybe the way you combat this fierce Ravens rushing defense is you get Eckler out on the screens. You get him out in space. Same with McNichols. Both of those guys can do that where you're not trying to hammer against a pretty stout rushing defense. Maybe that's part of the game plan for Kliff.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, what do you expect on Sunday? You can give us your predictions, your keys to the game, 800-636-1067. You can call us in the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Valdez, Burrow had a big game, right?
throws the 5 touchdown passes. I know that Chase had the 1 wide receiver screen and then he went to the house. I wanted to ask you a question, just your perception on the Ravens pass defense, because I heard Kadri Ismail on with Grant and Danny. I think it was Grant and Danny. Might have been on B. Mitch and Finley. But I heard Kadri, and he was saying that they've had miscommunications in the back, which is surprising because they're veteran guys in the back, which is maybe why they brought in Dean Pease or brought him back.
It seems like there's a lot of times where in the cornerbacks, and this happened in week one with Xavier Worthy getting loose, basically on a walk-in touchdown, where the cornerback kind of lets him go and figures the safety's going to pick him up, and the safety's not there to pick him up. I actually think they're most vulnerable over the middle. That's kind of where I'm looking to see if the Commanders will take advantage of.
Do you think their secondary is like older and slower?
I think Marcus Williams is one of the worst rated safeties in PFF. He is definitely older. But what's weird is this Ravens defense, they haven't had much turnover personnel-wise. They lost Clowney,
right.
but Owe basically has made up for that. They had to choose basically between Van Noy or Clowney. They chose right with Van Noy, who has 6 sacks already this year. They let Patrick Queen walk. Trenton Simpson has a better PFF grade than Roquan right now, so they made the right decision there. Geno Smith was a safety that they let go. Geno Stone was a safety they let go, and he's having kind of a bad year in Cincinnati. So the personnel moves they made were right.
Yeah.
They have all the personnel from a defense last year that were number one in sacks, number one in takeaways, number one in points allowed. But for whatever reason, this year it's not clicking.
And maybe it is the coaching. I mean, so I think it was Kadri on with B. Mitch and Finley. That Kadri said that that's why they're bringing back, is it Pease or Pease?
Dean Pease.
Dean Pease. He was the defensive coordinator of the 2012 Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you look at his coaching history, he kind of relied on a bend don't break defense. The 2012 Super Bowl team, a lot of people think it was a defensive led team. That's not necessarily correct. It was one of the middle of the pack in terms of total defense. But what Dean did very well was red zone defense and red zone efficiency. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping maybe Orr just kind of needs some fresh eyes and maybe some more professionalism and just some help. It kind of makes me happy that he asked for help instead of being stubborn. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he makes some sort of adjustments. But we'll see.
Well, what the Commanders cannot let happen is what the Ravens did to the Bills. I think it was week 3 or 4.
And that's very shocking because you would think the Bills have a high potent pass offense.
Right.
And they really held Josh Allen and the wide receivers in check.
Held them to 10. But on the offensive side, Lamar was surgical, 13 for 18, threw 2 touchdowns, no picks. And then on the ground, he had 6 for 54 with a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And Derrick Henry went nuclear, 24 for 199 and a touchdown.
If that
happens, then it's blowout city.
Well, it shows me the potential is there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's the personnel. Because obviously they can stop the pass. They stopped the pass for 3 quarters against Dallas, which is a potent throwing passing offense. So it's there. It's just about kind of putting the puzzle together. And hopefully for Commanders fans, they don't put the puzzle together and figure out where the pieces go this week.
Well, statistically, the Commanders, you would think, would lean into the passing game based on what we've just been talking about. On the flip side, the Ravens have the best rushing team in the NFL.
That's what's so scary.
And they're facing what we know hasn't been a good rush defense. Now, the last couple weeks, they've been better.
Right.
Yeah, so you wonder if
they've been
the defense
better, but like even
can
Jerome
hold up.
Ford and Deontay Foreman still got like 91 yards rushing on, I think, 18 carries. Like, a lot of it was kind of in garbage time.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say.
Even they kind of got there. And look, that's you're not facing Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. It's Deontay Foreman.
It'll be interesting to see if the defense can continue. I mean, I know they didn't play potent offenses, certainly not last week, but if they can continue to get better, get after the quarterback.
Right.
So with 11 sacks in the last 2 weeks and 4 of them against a mobile quarterback in Kyler.
I do think that they've
wonder if they can get to Lamar.
I don't know if they'll get to him and he'll just run around them. I don't know what they'll do.
The key in this game, and it hasn't been talked about at all, I feel like, is penalty yards. I think the Ravens are third in the league, I guess, since Seattle played last night, but third in total penalty yards against. They don't really draw that more flags for. So it depends on how the game's officiated.
So you're saying they commit a lot of penalties?
They commit a lot of penalties because they play very aggressive outside on the corners. And plus, they're a hard-hitting team. I don't necessarily think they're a dirty team, but they hit hard. They grab on the outside. So it depends on how Land Clark and his crew call the game. It could get very ugly and very flag-happy if they're going to toss a bunch of yellow.
And even though the Commanders have been better at putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks, it's going to be hard to do it against Lamar. He's only been sacked five times through five games.
Dude, Lamar's rolling right now.
They're not going to probably sack him.
He's had a couple of great games back-to-back. I think it's going to continue. I'll be the first one to go on record. I almost wanted to pick the Commanders, but the more I think about that rush offense against the Commanders' rush defense, it's just hard to get by that. I think they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. They're going to dominate with the running game. I like the Ravens 38-23.
Ooh, 38 ball.
That's a lot of thumping. Points.
Yeah, that is a thumping.
So you think that they're going to
just a couple weeks ago? Just remember, a couple weeks ago, the Commanders didn't punt, but their opponent didn't punt either. And I think it's going to be a similar offense where
the Commanders' defense. I don't disagree with that.
I don't think they're going to force many punts.
I don't disagree with that part. The part I'm a little bit questioning is you think they're going to go way under their
23?
Yeah, that's the part
I came up with
that
with two touchdowns and three field goals. So it's five scoring drives, but they're just not going to have that success.
Is Baltimore going to keep Jaden off the field?
That's why I think
by long sustaining drives.
Conventional wisdom is it's going to be a shootout and it's going to be high scoring on both sides. I guess I'll lean more towards that. That's the thing. If we only score 23, that's going to be kind of a dud. The expectations have been raised now.
I think the implied team total for the Commanders is right around 23 points.
Yeah,
I'll double check it. I think
I would go over that.
It's probably 28. It's probably 28.
I think you can
for Baltimore and 23.
It's actually 29.5 where I'm looking. 29.5 for Baltimore, 23 for the Commanders.
I'm going to go over 23. I think we're going to score over 23.
Well, if you do, it's probably going to be a tight game. I don't think it's going to be a 41-27 game.
Before, like, week four, I thought we had a 5% chance of winning this game. Now I think we might have, like, a 35-40% chance.
That's what the ESPN matchup predictor thinks, right around 35%.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think.
Yeah.
What's the poll right now?
Let's check.
How do you guys do on turnovers? Do you guys have a bunch of fumbles or anything? No, Henry doesn't fumble.
Lamar had a fumble in the overtime.
Yeah, Lamar basically turned his head, hit him in the chest. That was a fumble.
Yeah, but they don't have that many. Like,
I'll tell you right now.
I'll tell you what the turnover ratio is.
Because maybe we can get lucky.
I would guess the Ravens have.
We haven't forced any interceptions.
Five. I would say five turnovers.
They're plus one. Let's see.
Joe Witt
takeaways,
said,
yeah, they've taken away. They got three picks and two fumbles.
The Cons are dead fumbles. Even. They're at a zero. On
Joe
the
Witt said he doesn't think he's ever coached a team through five games that's had zero interceptions.
Yeah.
Thought they had one last week.
I don't believe. He said in the presser, zero. But maybe he was wrong. I'm wrong.
Didn't Watson throw
one? I thought Deshaun had one.
Didn't Watson? I thought he threw one last week.
I don't recall. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to pick the Commanders in an upset. I think it's an offensive shootout. I think it's a close game. I'm going to take the Commanders 35, Ravens 31.
Wow.
To answer Jason's question, the poll right now on Twitter has 55% voting for the Ravens as the winner. But on our Instagram page, Sports Junkies Radio, 62% Commanders.
Look at this.
I don't know why that community is different than the community on X, but it's different.
They're more pro Commanders.
I don't know what to do.
Commanders lead.
I don't know how to pick the game.
He was right because Watson didn't throw a pick last week.
Oh, he didn't.
Yeah. I don't know how to pick the game.
He had the fumble. That's what it was.
Well, you got to pick it. You got to pick it one way or another.
I don't know how to pick it.
Well, then just flip a coin. If you don't know how to pick it.
That's a good bit.
Pick a tie. Pick a tie.
I can't pick a tie. Although that could play out. Do I want to go on record and pick? I'll say the Ravens win 34-31.
And hopefully I'm wrong.
So we got two Ravens
28-24, Baltimore.
Oh, a lot of Baltimore love so far. I know who Valdez is picking.
He ain't picking the team that wears burgundy and gold.
EB,
I know that.
Watson did have a fumble last week.
A fumble, but not an interception.
Correct.
Right.
That's correct. He had the turnover, but not the pick.
Yeah. That's what Witt said. He can't remember coaching a team through 5 weeks that hadn't had an interception.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe we're due for one.
Valdez, why don't you go on record? What do you think happens?
Going on record.
You've wanted everybody to buy into the Commanders winning this week.
I am. I'm glad Cakes has kind of, I've kind of convinced him that the Commanders are a good team.
Oh, I think we're decent.
You've called them the hottest team in the NFL.
I feel like they are the hottest team in the NFL
the
right now.
They're the buzziest team in the NFL.
Well, they have just so many style points. They have the sexy new toy.
Yep.
But
the Ravens have a history of kind of turning contenders into pretenders. Mm-hmm. You look at the Lions game last year and that blowout. You look at the Dolphins blowout last year. The Seahawks blowout. Lamar's stellar record against the NFC. I feel I'm 41-20 Ravens.
Whoa, that's blowout central. That's a huge cover.
That would be disappointing.
By the way, I've seen the line tick up to -7 for the Ravens. It was 6.5 most of the week.
Huh.
It's now -7 at least.
I could see us giving up 41, but if we only score 20, that's going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
EB, what do you think Drab's going to do? His pick.
Oh, he's taking the Ravens probably like 100-0. Yeah.
41-20 Commanders.
Oh,
that's not true.
He doesn't.
Are you doing that just because you need to catch up because you're so far behind?
It doesn't matter what I think about this game.
Drab has said it many times.
I'm interested. I would like you to go on the record because you don't want to be known as a hater.
41-20 Commanders.
All right, you don't want to be known as a hater.
And I know Mike Marr's going to pick the Commanders.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, Vegas religiously sleeps on us. This is the game Lamar against Jaden where the student becomes the master. Commanders driving down the field, final play of the game, kicking a field goal, 26-23. To be the best, you got to beat the best.
It's an under.
That is an under. Very close.
I don't like unders. I hate unders.
Cummings going into M&T Bank. That's our stadium on Sunday. W coming our way. Easy. Not worry about it.
That would be such a huge
story.
He's got
a little Adam Epstein in him. A little.
I like how he says, driving down the field, last minute field goal, 26-23, easy win.
Yeah, I know. That didn't make any sense to me either.
Yeah, he's getting caught up in it. He's swept up in the mania.
I am. It's crazy.
That would be a tight win.
Can't help himself.
All right, we'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067. Who do you got? Commanders or Ravens on Sunday?
Welcome back.
Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 talking about this Ravens Commanders game, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Just imagine what it's going to be like if they actually pull off the win and it's 5 in a row.
Well, if they pull off the win, I'm going to say we're legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Legitimate.
I don't think there's a problem saying that.
They would be in the top 3 in the power rankings, I'm sure.
I'll be honest with you. I lost a little bloom off the rose of Minnesota when I watched them this past weekend. Now, maybe it was just a down game or whatever.
I mean, the Jets have a really good defense.
And that could be it. It's just a one-off.
But they actually still won. So, like, even on a dud game, they won.
Yeah, but maybe the Jets suck. I mean, they just fired their coach.
I saw...
Jets aren't great.
I saw this interview with...
But that game was overseas, too. So sometimes they get a little wacky. Weird.
I saw this interview with Chris Carter. Okay, he was a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I think it was Brandon Marshall interviewing him. And he said, who are your top 5 Vikings receivers all time? And you would think Chris Carter, he's considered, or Randy Moss. He put Justin Jefferson number 1 ahead of Chris Carter.
Mm.
Put him ahead of...
Ahead of Moss?
Ahead of Randy Moss. That's how good Justin Jefferson is.
Justin Jefferson is a great player.
Is his best year ever better than Moss's best year?
I can't put him ahead of Randy Moss.
Is he... Yeah. Well, think about it, though. Has he... Was
I don't know if he's
Jefferson's
ever had. I think Randy Moss had a 20 touchdown year.
Then Moss's best.
Probably
year.
Not.
I would guess no.
Okay, I'm just asking.
And they're
passing. I'd have to go back
ball,
and look.
They're passing the ball at a higher rate during Jefferson's era than they did in Randy Moss's. Yeah.
Didn't Moss catch 20 when he was with New England?
Think so.
Oh, he caught 23.
23 touchdowns.
Yeah,
in one
23
season.
Touchdowns, 1,400
Moss was
yards.
Ridiculous.
I'll always remember him as a Tennessee Titan, that Randy Moss. Didn't he spend one season or two with Tennessee toward the end of
his career? Last team was?
Seattle?
San Francisco.
49ers,
San Francisco.
That's right.
I mean, I have no recollection of that. Spaced on that.
Did his body just fall apart? He was just limping.
His body just fell apart.
All right, let's bring out these calls. A lot of people want to chime in on it. Certainly, I think we're capable of winning. I'm just kind of scared to believe that it could happen. It's just kind of hard for me to imagine. Let's go. The whole thing, and I just, again, I'm going to retweet it. I did the interview with Ben Standick for this article he's doing about this game and this rivalry. And it's hard for me, here we are in week six, to wrap my brain around us being real, like Valdez says, the hottest team in football or one of the best, when just 4 weeks ago, we were like the lowest on everyone's power rankings.
I know. It's a shocking.
We were 30, 31, 30. And
a shocking climb up the power rankings.
Yeah, so I just don't know. I can't wrap my brain around that. That well, we're legitimately one of the top teams.
You can wrap your brain around Jaden Daniels being excellent.
I can. And I do think he's going to go down as one of the greats. But I've been wrong a lot.
By the way, the Baltimore secondary has given up the second most 20-plus yard receptions so far this season.
Right.
Could be some bombs away from Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin.
Maybe that looks good for Terry being part of the parlay.
Maybe Dyami Brown hits another big one.
All right, play the music, Cakes. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. What do you think? Let's go to Chris at Manassas. Lions are starting to load up. Chris,
hey, Chris.
What's up, buddy?
Hi. So I have a theory that I know JP has his psychological theory on Eric.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my theory.
All right.
You want to be able to ask Drab every Monday, are you a believer?
All right.
It's a good theory.
And I don't know if I'm following you yet, but
you want that back patting.
Well, because he hasn't said he's a believer yet.
Right.
And if he has a kind of mediocre game or a dud game and they win and he says, well, you know, he didn't really play that well. And, you know, but they still won.
Are you
you should be happy.
But I'm not going to be happy because Drab will have scoreboard on me?
He's going to say, I'm not bought in.
Oh.
I like the theory.
All right. It's an interesting theory. I promise you I don't give that much weight to Drab's opinion.
And why are you asking him every week?
Well, because I just want him to admit that the guy's
because
crazy.
He does. Because he does.
He's contradicted yourself.
I don't think
all roads lead to Drabby.
I promise you, I don't think about him when I leave here.
You never ask Jason if he's gold. You never ask Valdez.
I mean, you know, I'm a Drake May guy. By the way, I never said Daniels was going to suck. I always said I think he's a very good quarterback. I just liked May better.
I think Jason is pretty straightforward generally. If a guy's playing well, he's going to say, yeah, he's good. If a guy's playing bad, Jason say, yeah, he's not that good. Like, Jason, I don't think is very difficult to read. I think he's kind of, you are what you are sort of last week with Jason.
No,
with you. You think you're the smartest guy in the room, and you're outthinking everybody. I don't, you know, it's pretty obvious this kid's great, and you won't give it up to him.
I've said a million times he's playing well. What else do you want from me?
I want you to say that it's not an aberration. That he's obviously.
I didn't say it's an aberration. I just didn't say he's a top five quarterback like you've put him in.
I didn't say he was top five.
You know who said he's top?
I said he's going to be one of the all-time greats.
Who said
greats.
He's top one? The top 33rd team said he's
I said, I think when
one.
It's all said and done, amongst his peers, he's going to be one of the greats.
I know this is outlandish, but I'm not ready to call him an all-time great.
Right?
He's played a month of football.
Right?
Chris might have nailed it. These guys go at it all the time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this conversation on Monday morning.
I don't think that he's going to play poorly. I think he'll play just fine.
I know, but you're going to ask me if I'm sold either way.
And
not if it's a dud, because then he won't ask you. But I don't think he's going to have a dud.
I actually don't think he's going to have a dud. I think he's going to come up, and just like he did on Monday night.
Okay, but to be fair, if he has a dud, you have to ask.
All right, well, I'm not going to get a changed opinion. That's a dumb question.
No, I'm saying you still
if
have to
If he plays
ask.
Great, you still go to say, no, it's only six games, I can't.
Yeah, there were pros.
I might be getting closer.
You know what else is coming, Jason? Because he's not set up for success. That if Drake May has a dud, then he's going to come at us for Drake May.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that'll be unfair.
I actually don't care. I root for them all. I've actually said I think all those first-round rookies are going to hit. And right, you guys mock me because you just go with history.
I have a follow-up for you.
You don't think outside the box.
What if Caleb Williams scorches the Jags this weekend and strings together two back-to-back good games?
I think Caleb is going to be good. I think he's just going to be a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I think Jaden will be less of a roller coaster.
Let's hope so.
Okay. You always play both sides of the fence. You're sending lipstick to the polls in Chicago. You don't make any sense.
I think Jaden's better than Caleb. But I think Caleb will still be good. That doesn't mean I think he's going to suck. I guess he's going to have some bad games.
Please tell me. Oh, I would love for you to find audio that where Bickle said Caleb's not going to be a good quarterback. He's going to be a bust. Oh, I guarantee he's out there.
He said it 100 times in the spring.
Yeah, no, I just said I don't like the purse and fingernails. That's not my thing.
No, I know. I'm just talking about on the field.
Well, I think off the field sometimes transfers on. All right, let's go to Mo.
Hey, according to the EB's draft board, J.J. McCarthy would be here.
No. I just think J.J. is he's a good prospect, too. Mo, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey.
Yep.
If you don't remember, we've been here before. So it's not like we can't do this.
What do you mean we've been here before?
We literally played Baltimore with the Rookie of the Year quarterback on his rookie year and beat him. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we can't do this. And I'm looking at their defense. You know, the best way for us to combat their offense is to keep them off the field. So if we can sustain drives and put them in must-score situations, I don't see why we can't get it done. So, you know, I marked this as an L on our schedule going into it. But, you know, based on real-time analysis, this team can score, and they can score with anybody. So if this defense continues in the direction that it's headed, we're about to smoke these boys. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right, Mo.
I don't know about smoking them. Just take a win. Any win is a good win.
No, some people are hitting up my Twitter, and they're saying right. They think that we're going to boat race them. Like, we're going to win by, like, 10.
Coming up next,
that would be very surprising.
Scott Abraham from ABC7 joins us. We'll find out the latest on Brian Robinson and more here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.